the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is the whole story of the healing of Naaman, and I think we have already summed it up when in our service we have prayed for forgiveness, for lack of reverence, for calculating minds, for going along with mean and ugly things. And the particular verse is verse 25 of 2 Kings 5. I'm reminded that somehow or other, whenever I get the chapel assignment, I end up around 2 Kings somewhere. This is therefore a continuation of my sermon on the two mule loads of dirt. Read 2 Kings 5 to find out about that. But verse 25, and he said, your servant went nowhere. How do you get nowhere? Every once in a while, those of us who have the privilege of teaching you single one or two or three out, and we shake our heads and wonder at such a bright young man, and we say, he's really going to go places. Well, actually, we're all going to go places. The Hebrew of this verse says not going, and then uses the Hebrew idiom, aneh wa'ana, any whither at all. Not going. And that was Gehazi's problem. He wasn't going places. The story is perhaps familiar to you. You heard it read yesterday. Naaman was a general of the Syrian army, and at the recommendation of a little Hebrew serving maid, he went to the correct doctor. He was sent to Elisha for the curing of his leprosy. And he took all of the gifts with him. The king loaded him up with all kinds of money and festal garments and everything to pay for the doctor. And you heard how Elisha wouldn't even come out to see him. Absolutely refused any payment at all. And several times said, I just will not accept anything. And finally, Naaman overcame his pride, went and washed in the Jordan, and was cured of leprosy. Well, now we get the sequel. Now Naaman and his retinue go home. But Gehazi, who's a servant of Elisha, says that's not really the way to run things. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? St. Peter said that to our Lord once when the Lord said, I'm going to Jerusalem and be crucified. Peter said, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. That's no way to run a church. You'll get into trouble. Peter ended up going nowhere when he used his own wisdom as opposed to the Lord. And this is what happened to Gehazi. He overtakes Naaman, and he said, oh, my master has changed his mind. He'd like some payment after all. Not really for himself, you understand. And the halo was beginning to shine on his head. We've got a couple of poor seminarians over here. That's really what it says. And we'd like a couple of shekels of silver and some festal garments for them. Their clothes are getting a little worn out. So he puts a good face on it, and Naaman says, well, sure, I've been trying to pay him, but he wouldn't take anything. And finally, he pays him this, and he takes off with it. Then he goes back to Elisha, and Elisha says, Gehazi, come here a minute. What have you been doing? Where have you been? And you remember those immortal words that you probably said as a child when you got called on the carpet by mother? Nowhere. Thy servant is going nowhere. And this is what Professor Rosso would call dramatic irony, right? We have that in so many places in the scripture. Dramatic irony. The man who said it is better for one man to die for the people than for the whole nation to die. He didn't really know what he was saying. More truth in that than he knew. Scripture has many places, and here is one case. Dramatic irony. Because of the way I am trying to run ministry, I am going nowhere. And how do you get nowhere? The Lord wants us to go in many places. That's always interesting to me, how he has so many hithers and thithers for us to serve in. Some of us to go overseas, some some of us to become administrative pastors of large parishes and all kinds of things. There are many places to go, but it is also possible to run the ministry in such a way that you end up not going to any of these hither or thither places, but end up going nowhere. And quite briefly, I'd like you to think about this during this day as you contemplate your future or present ministry. Am I going nowhere? How do you get nowhere? There is some advice in Alice in Wonderland about that, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter which direction you go in. But how do you get nowhere? As I contemplated this whole story and tried to principalize it, if you will, to find the principle that is here that is applicable to us, it seemed to me there are two things to remember. You will go nowhere in the Christian ministry if you do not trust that the gospel is God's free gift. And the church has forgotten that again and again. Elijah made a big point of it. I will cure this man, who is our enemy, really, who is the general in chief of the Syrian armies oppressing us, and I will cure him by the power of God, but I will do it freely. There is no way that he can pay for it. This is pure grace. And Elijah's ministry was built on that, as any Christian ministry must be. Gehazi said, okay, now that you have given us your theological purity, you have quoted Walter's Law and Gospel to us, you have reminded us of Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession and the Apology. We've got all of that. Now let's get down to business. It just doesn't work to let this man go back without paying something. He's been offering it for heaven's sake. Let's build the kingdom now. Gehazi went nowhere, Elisha had told him, because you have sinned, the primary sin of the ministry. You do not trust in God's message of free grace. And you can read Walter's proper distinction between law and gospel and see in how many places he spells that out. We as Lutherans very often take great pride in our doctrinal positions, the means of grace, the dynamic of the gospel, but we live always under the great danger of not really believing it. Of not really believing that the law can indeed bring a man to repentance and that the gospel can create and sustain faith and produce all kinds of results. In my own ministry, I would have to confess that sometimes the Lord has shoved it right under my nose. Now, this is what happens in the life of an individual if you preach the gospel, and I get surprised. I really didn't believe it was going to happen. Elijah represents the very great central doctrine that the grace of God cannot be purchased. And you know how the church has struggled with that from the very beginning. And certainly as you read the correspondence between Pelagius and Augustine, Pelagius kept pulling his hair and saying, but it can't ultimately be free. There's got to be something in man. And again, as the gospel was preached prior to the Reformation, old Gehazi came and said, but we've got to build St. Peter's in Rome, and there's some money out there, and let's cook up something, a universal indulgence or whatever, and have the people pay for it, ultimately. And you know how Martin Luther raged against that. The gospel is free, and we must never run our ministries in any way to bring doubt upon that. That's one thing. You can fill in the details. And the other thing, the other mistake that Gehazi made, so he ended up going nowhere. In fact, he went worse than nowhere, didn't he? He ended up getting the leprosy that had been taken from Naaman. And what was his mistake there? His mistake there was that he would not be called to account. That God would not know what he had done and that Elisha would not find out. And we don't know how Elisha found out. But he's no sooner in the presence of Elisha than Elisha says, where have you been? What have you been doing? It reminds us of the voice of God Garden of Eden, Eden, where have you been? And you remember how Adam and Eve kind of shrugged and said, well, really nowhere. And they finally had to admit they'd been talking to the serpent and had done a few. They had been some places, but God knew. And this is something we need to remember in our ministry, both for our warning and ultimately for our great comfort, that God knows when a man enters the ministry and takes his ordination vows, he is saying, I stand before God naked in my ministry. My Lord will know when I take shortcuts. My Lord will know when I don't trust him and need to use human devices to raise money or to get things done or to get a name for myself. God knows. So that's law and gospel, and the gospel message comes through loud and clear. For you, for me, for everybody whom we serve, the primary message is grace is free. And the secondary message that we have is that the ministry is God. The success is His, not ours. And by His grace and His power alone, we will go somewhere. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life eternal. Amen.